Shall we go to the Lord in prayer now as we begin our study in the Word of God? Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you today for the privilege to be in your presence. We are grateful for the privilege of knowing you, of relating to you, and of calling you our God and our Father who art in heaven. We bless and praise your holy name today as we have this honor of studying your word. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will open our hearts to hear what you want us to hear today and to encourage us in our walk and in our relationship with you. We commit this study to you and pray that you be honored and lifted up on high for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, the story is told about a young boy named Timothy who was planning to give his grandmother a Bible for Christmas. Young Timothy wanted to write something special on the flyleaf of the Bible, but wasn't sure what to say. So he decided to copy what he had seen in a book his father had received from a friend. Christmas morning came, and grandmother opened her gift. Surprise, surprise for grandmother. She was not only pleased to receive the Bible, but she was so amused by the inscription Timothy had put in it. It read, "With compliments from the author." You see, even though that boy was unaware of it, he had suggested a unique fact about the Bible. It came to us from its author, that is God. That makes the Bible the most valuable and desirable of all books in this world. The Bible, with its divine origin, not only ought to be read, but it demands our respect, our trust, and our obedience. Why? Because it comes with compliments of the author. Well, this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you at this special hour. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the interpreter and the inspirer of Scripture, is keenly poised and prepared to plant the seed of God's truth in order to transform those of us who are believers more and more into the glorious image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One of God and the head of the church, and to turn unbelievers from the sin of unbelief, leading them into a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the rescuer and redeemer of repentant sinners. So here is our message in a nutshell. Please, I urge you to listen carefully to it with an open mind and an open heart. Here is the message in one single sentence. The Word of God is a solid foundation on which to rest our faith, because it originates from God himself. Let me repeat it again. The Word of God is a solid foundation on which to rest our faith, because it originates from God himself. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ Jesus our Lord, fellow believers in the fold, flock, fellowship, and family of God, the concluding passage of 2 Peter chapter 1 is going to make it vividly clear to all who have ears to hear and hearts to hear or receive that the scriptures are something in which believers can have unwavering, unshakable confidence. This is because the Bible is a gift from the author, that is God himself, who is a God that is true and trustworthy. In other words, his words can be dependent on. In fact, the concluding passage of 2 Peter in plain and unmistakable manner will emphasize to us the God-inspired authority of Scripture to prepare the way for the harsh words spoken by inspired Apostle Peter against the false teachers whom we will meet next week, God willing, in our study as we open chapter 2. If these wicked men were contradicting the apostles and the Bible, then it follows that their message could not be from God, who is the ultimate author of the Bible. So now, if you have your Bibles, please turn them to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. Now, would you please listen carefully as I recite this passage for us from the very beginning of 1 Peter chapter 1. One more time, I'll do this and we'll shift to chapter 2. But for today, for one last time, I want to recite from the beginning of verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1. As usual, I'll be reciting from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible. Now, here is the word of God. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And he goes on to say, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Now to verse 19 to 21. The Bible says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us a passage of Scripture which focuses on prophecy and the person of the Holy Spirit. By the way, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 to 21 consists of only one sentence in the original language. And the NASB, the most literal translation, translated it in two sentences. Now, first of all, our passage highlights prophecy because, listen, it seeks to assure believers of the origin of Scripture. If you ever wanted to study where is the origin of Scripture, this passage we have today is going to deal with the origin of Scripture that we have today. Will you please notice that it speaks of the prophetic word in verse 19, prophecy of Scripture in verse 20, and no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will in verse 21. The Bible is going to make it clear to us that the truth about Jesus Christ is anchored in the prophetic word of Scripture. That is to say that the truth about Jesus Christ is based on the prophecies of Scripture which originate from God himself. Second, this passage focuses on the person of the Holy Spirit because it sheds light on the significant role he played in receiving the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit was at work when the Scriptures were written for us. I tell you, friends, the Scripture did not come from the creative or imaginative work of the prophets. Rather, the person of the Holy Spirit inspired them as they were carried along by him. So their message is authentic and trustworthy. The Holy Spirit worked with the prophets and the writers of the Bible in such a way to ensure that the message God intended to convey to mankind was faithfully, accurately communicated in the very words they wrote on the pages of the original Bible. So having so far simply whetted your spiritual appetite, and I trust that all of you here have a healthy spiritual appetite, will you please allow me to give you a brief overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present this passage to you from start to finish. First of all, we begin with his teaching centering on the reliability of Scripture in verse 19. Friends and fellow believers, may I say to us that God has put a sure rock under our feet. He has given up given us the scriptures, which are a solid foundation on which to rest our faith, our future, and our hope. God's word, the Bible is going to tell us today, that is reliable. Peter is going to leave no stone unturned in communicating this teaching to us, that God's word is reliable. If God's word is reliable, what should be believers' attitude toward it? Well, the Bible itself will give us its answer on that question. Second, we will look at this, his instruction directed toward the need for our recognition that Scripture is not of human origin. In verses 20 to 21, that is what it will be talking to us. It says, you have to recognize that the Scriptures do not come from human effort. Verse 20 begins by saying, but know this first of all. This expression is clearly a call to recognize God's truth as priority, namely that Scripture is not of human origin. While it is true today that human beings have invented a great deal of implements, instruments, machinery, electrical appliances, telephone, televisions, etc., they cannot boast of being inventors or originators of the Word of God. I tell you, friends, the Bible is not a product of human effort. That is what Peter is going to communicate to us in unmistakable language. Well, third and finally, we will examine what the Bible itself teaches about the revealed origin of Scripture in verse 21b. The Bible is going to teach us today that the Holy Spirit is the divine author and originator and producer and the producer of the Scriptures. In fact, the clearest biblical description of the divine human process of inspiration of Scripture is found in this verse. That is, man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. Well, having given you a concise overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper to discover the precious lessons the Holy Spirit is eager and ready to impress upon our hearts. We begin first with his teaching, focusing on the reliability of Scripture in verse 19. The complete reliability of written Scripture is now set before you and before me in verse 19. Notice what the Bible says in verse 19. It says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Literally, this reads, and we have more firm the prophetic word, to which ye do well, taking heed, as to a lamp shining in a murky place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in the hearts of you. Please understand that every word in this verse, verse 19, is so precious. It is therefore important for us to take a careful look at each word, almost each word, in order to fully understand what the Bible is teaching us here in this precious and powerful verse. Now, when the Bible says the prophetic word, some of you have it as the word of prophecy. The question is, what is that expression referring to? The word of prophecy or the prophetic word? What is it referring to? Well, the prophetic word or the word of prophecy in this context refers to the Old Testament scriptures. That is, the prophetic writings of the Old Testament. By implication, this refers to the entire Word of God. So by saying we have more from the prophetic word, Peter indicates that the Old Testament prophets spoke of the same things he and the other apostles did at this point in the history of God's people. Notice Peter, in the Holy Spirit, insightfully and interestingly, describes the prophetic word as more sure. It's more sure. This is also rendered or translated more certain, more firm or confirmed, depending on what version of the Bible you have. The original word is quite a jaw-breaking word. It's the word bebaioteron, which also means more reliable or well-founded. Therefore, the expression we have the prophetic word made more sure is taken to mean in this context that we, that is believing people of God, possess the prophetic word as something altogether reliable. We have a reliable word. So the reliability of the Old Testament scriptures, and for that matter, all of scripture, is what is being affirmed here. Please listen. The scriptures as we have them are a solid foundation on which to rest our faith. Yes, we can have absolute confidence in them. Why? They are reliable. They are dependable. They are completely trustworthy. They are a sure rock under our feet. In a world full of speculation, only God's word is certain. Now, most of you know about Phil the groundhog. You know of his exploits. Phil is a groundhog that comes out of his burrow on Gobbler's Knob, Pennsylvania, each February 2nd to predict for us the weather. According to legend, if Phil sees his shadow, there will be what? 6 more weeks of cold weather. If he gets out of his burrow and sees his shadow, then we have what? 6 more weeks of cold weather. If he doesn't see his shadow, spring will come early. Now, this is all humbug and good humor, of course. No one takes Phil's prediction seriously from 1887. Records have been kept of his prediction from 1887. People kept the record of Phil's prediction, and some people say that he's over 123 years old, and every year they give him some potion and he gets another 7 years on his life. But from 1887, his predictions, do you want to know his accuracy in predicting? He has only 39% accuracy. So no one really takes Phil's prediction seriously. He's unreliable, more often wrong than right. Well, unlike Phil, the groundhog, there is one, however, who is always right and whom we must take seriously. This is the one of whom Peter writes, saying of his words, we have the prophetic word made more sure. Well, in the context of this passage, the Bible is teaching us here that the prophetic word, that is scripture, is more complete, more permanent, and more authoritative than the experience of anyone. More specifically, the Word of God is a more reliable verification of the teachings about the person, atonement, and the second coming of Christ than even the genuine first-hand experiences of the apostles. See, Peter says, we had this experience on the mount, on the holy mountain. But I want to tell you that the prophecies, the written word of God, is even more reliable than the experience we had on the mountain. Believer in Jesus Christ, do you believe that the Bible you cherish and carry with you to Bible studies, church services, small group meetings is reliable? If a non-Christian were to ask you to prove that the scriptures as God's word is reliable, on what would you stand or base your answer to that non-Christian? Well, we can go here to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, because it is affirming to us the reliability of the scriptures. Well, having affirmed the reliability of the Old Testament scriptures, notice what the believers are exhorted to do. The Bible says they are to continue to pay careful attention to the prophetic message. It says, to which you do well, taking heed as to a lamp shining in a murky place until the day dawns and the day star rises in your hearts. You see, because the scriptures are reliable, they are not like the predictions of Phil the Groundhog. We are to continue to pay close attention to them, hold onto them, give heed to them, follow them, and be concerned about them. You see, Peter was warning believers that since they will be exposed to false teachers, whom we will meet, God willing, next week in our study, they must pay careful attention to Scripture, to what is written. Because that what is written is what? Reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. It will never, never mislead you. It will never give you a false prediction. Like Mr. Phil the Groundhog. Some Christians today have been led astray by false teachers and false prophets simply because they were not paying careful attention to Scripture. They were not like the Berean Christians who carefully searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul himself was teaching was consistent with the written word. And I urge you, whenever I preach and teach the Word of God, check it like you will check. Check it and be like the Bereans who will see, is what Mr. Preacher Joseph is saying is true? Check it against the Word of God. Now notice, the inspired apostle compares the prophetic word, that is Scripture, to a light or a lamp shining in a murky or dark or dirty or dry place. The word translated dark or dirty or murky occurs only in the Bible here. The dark place is where? Where is that lamp shining? The lamp of the light of God. Of the Word of God. Where is this shining? Well, it says in a dark place. And where is that dark place? Well, the dark place is the whole world which are turned from God. The murky darkness of this fallen world keeps people from seeing the truth unto the light, which the lamp of revelation or the Word of God shines brightly on their path. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Because we live in a dark place, Christians are exhorted to ponder or to treasure and keep the word of God until, how long are we to keep the word of God? Until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Now the question is, what day are Christians looking forward to dawn? Because God says, I want you to keep holding on to this word of what I've given you. Keep taking heed to it, paying attention to it, until the day dawns when the morning star arises in your hearts. So what is that day? What day are believers looking forward to dawn? What or who is the morning star or the day star that will arise in their hearts? Well, let's answer the second question first. The morning star or the day star comes from the Greek word phosphorus. Phosphorus. Literally light bearing, from phos, which is light, pharaoh, to bear, the verb. It appears only here in the New Testament. It is used of the morning star as the light bringer, indicating the arising of the light of Christ as the personal fulfillment in the hearts of believers of the prophetic scripture concerning his coming to receive them to himself. This I got this from Vine's Word Study. Simply put, the morning star refers to Jesus at his coming in glory. If you look back in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, the Bible uses star for the Messiah, saying, a star shall arise from out of Jacob. Also, the related expressions such as the rising sun in Luke chapter 1, verse 78, and the bright morning star, Revelation 22, verse 16, give support to the view that Peter is referring to Christ in his coming in glory. So the morning star is the person of Jesus Christ coming what? In his glory. So the day Christians are eagerly looking forward to dawn is the day of the coming of Christ. That is the day of his final judgment and salvation. So these two images, the day dawns, the morning star rises, simply mark the appearing of Jesus Christ. His appearing the second time will have not only externally transforming impact on this universe of ours, as we will see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 to 13, but also an internally transforming impact on those believers who are alive when Jesus returns, forever removing any of their remaining doubts. Any doubts you have when Jesus appears in that state of glory and majesty will be removed from your hearts. The full light of Christ's presence will transform the hearts of his church to perfect purity. What a day, and what a divine work Jesus will do when he arises in our hearts as the morning star. Well, is the Bible a work of the imagination of man or the inspiration of the Spirit? Did the prophetic scriptures originate with man or with God? Well, the Holy Spirit promptly and personally answers these questions for us through the pen of Apostle Peter. We now examine his teaching dealing with our recognition that scripture is not of human origin in verses 20 to 21a. In a methodical and masterful way, the Holy Spirit proceeds to explain the origin of the prophecies of the Old Testament scripture. Notice what he says in verse 20 to 21. He says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. No prophecy was ever made. Literally, this reads, this firstly knowing that no prophecy of Scripture is of its own solution, not becomes, for not by the will of man was born prophecy at any time. Did a prophetic word come from human imaginations, or was it from God? Well, the Bible answers, no prophecy of Scripture was a matter of private origination. No true prophet thinks up a prophecy himself. Notice verse 20 begins by saying, know this first of all. Now the word know there is ginosko, which also means perceive, understand, comprehend, realize, or recognize. So that's where I got my point from. Recognition that Scripture is not of human origin. The Bible says the primary thing to be known is that the prophetic scriptures did not come into being through the prophet's own interpretation. In other words, this is a call to Christians to recognize God's truth as priority, namely that Scripture is not of human origin. The phrase no prophecy of Scripture primarily refers to all of the Old Testament scriptures, and then by implication to all of the New Testament scriptures. Perhaps you are asking, what exactly does Peter mean by the expression one's own interpretation? Is he talking about how we interpret the scriptures? Is that what he's talking about? About how a person interprets the scriptures? Well, the expression one's own interpretation literally means of one's now unloosing. It has the idea of a loosing, as if to say no scripture is the result of any human being privately untying and loosing the truth. But please, Peter's point is not so much about how to interpret the scripture, but rather how scripture originated and what was its source. So he's not talking about interpretation from someone's individual understanding of events or visions or other things, but how scripture came into existence. The Bible says it did not originate with man. Actually, this is further explained for us in the first part of verse 21. In an emphatic way, the Bible says, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. Notice verse 21 begins with for. You see, verse 21 is explaining verse 20 for us by restating its content, that is the content that Scripture does not originate with man, and then affirming God as the origin of Scripture. We will see at the end of verse 21. So as Scripture is not of human origin, neither is it the result of human will. The emphasis is in the phrase is that no part of Scripture, not even half of a page of it, at any time was produced because man wanted to do so. The prophet, for example, the prophet Jeremiah, did not sit down saying, well, I think I'll write a book today because I need some bucks. And I'll send it to the publisher. And then he will send me an advance check. And then I will get royalties for it later. The prophecy of Jeremiah was not something Jeremiah thought of himself or thought up himself. No book of the Bible was written because man willed himself to write it. The Bible is not a product of human effort. No biblical prophecy was ever produced merely because a man wanted to do it. Now, someone has said, what they wrote was not a concoction of their own ideas, and it was not the result of human imagination, insight, or speculation. Let me illustrate this for us. Several years ago, when I was pastoring a church that I founded, and I was preaching through Galatians at the time, God brought a young Hungarian Christian woman to our fellowship. She was married to an American man. Betty is her name. Now, Betty's husband, the American man, was not a believer. But he allowed Betty to come to our Sunday services on one condition. And this condition was that Betty, after coming from church, would tell him what was taught at the service. At the time, as I said, I was going through Galatians, and we came to a point where Paul was teaching that the gospel was not man-made. In fact, Paul asserted that he did not receive the gospel from man, nor was he taught it by man, but that he received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, to cut the long story short, when Betty got home, as usual, the husband asked her what was taught at church service. And she faithfully and clearly told her husband that it was taught that the gospel, and for that matter, the Bible, is not man-made. Well, hearing that, the husband went on a tirade, angrily saying, the Bible is the work of men. And from that day, Buddy was not allowed to come to our services. I was so sad because this man's claim that the Bible is a man's work is not consistent with what we are learning here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 and 21. Well, having confidently and convincingly spoken about the reliability of Scripture, and cogently and clearly sounded a call to Christians specifically toward their recognition that Scripture is not of human origin, the Holy Spirit now brings us to the climax of this rich and remarkable passage of Scripture, leading us to the third and final teaching point, which has to do with the revealed origin of Scripture in verse 21b. Notice what the Bible says. It says in a few words, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Literally, the men, being born by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Friends and fellow believers in the family of God, the Scripture clearest in defining the relationship between God and man on the issue of inspiration is contained in this verse. First of all, it teaches us that the divinely inspired prophet did not initiate the Scripture himself. Second, it teaches us that the person of the Holy Spirit, not the emotion or circumstances of the moment, moved or guided the human writers of the Bible. Actually, the expression "man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God" implies dual authorship of Scripture or of the Bible. That is to say, the prophetic revelation, listen, comes from God through human instrumentality under the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Only God speaking through His Spirit, not ideas peculiar to a person's wishes, results in true prophecy. This is what Peter is trying to communicate to the believers he was writing to. So this makes the Bible a miraculous book. There is none like it in the entire universe, because God, through His Spirit, was working in human beings to communicate what He wanted to be communicated to mankind. Just like the Lord Jesus was both God and man, so also the Bible is a God book and a man book. So please mark this verse, verse 21, carefully in your Bible. Why? Because it is a key verse for the doctrine of Scripture, indicating that Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, man spoke God's word. Actually, King David spoke about this himself. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue." So David recognized that he was not himself speaking, but who was speaking through him? The Spirit of God. What David said in 2 Samuel chapter 23 agrees with what Peter is saying here. That is, the Holy Spirit is the divine author and originator, the producer of the Scriptures. You see, though the human writers of Scripture were active rather than passive in the process of writing Scripture, God the Holy Spirit superintended them so that using their own individual personalities, their knowledge, their thought processes, their cultural background, their vocabulary, education, and style, the Holy Spirit invisibly directed them to compose and record without error the exact words God wanted written. In other words, men spoke, but God, through His Holy Spirit, so worked in them so that what they said was His word. The exact way in which this was accomplished still remains a mystery. So please don't ask me to explain how did the Holy Spirit come upon Paul when he began to write Philippians. How did He direct him? I was not there. I cannot explain it to you. But what we do know for certain is that the Scripture is fully the Word of God, even though it is recorded in the words of human beings who were supernaturally and specially controlled by the Spirit. This means the original copies of Scripture are therefore inspired, that is, God-breathed, and inerrant, that is, without error. Please let me remind you that this is Peter's swan song. And like Paul, in his swan song, he emphasizes the importance of the Word of God. Remember when Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he wrote about the Word of God, one of the most popular verses about the doctrine of Scripture. In verse 16, he says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." So Peter also, in writing his last book, spoke about the inspiration of Scripture. Now, there's one thing I want you to know that will help you to understand what Peter is teaching us here. One of the greatest proofs that the Bible is indeed the Word of God is fulfilled prophecy. If so much prophecy has already been fulfilled in Christ's first coming, how then are we to regard prophecy yet to be fulfilled? Not with speculation or superstition, but with steadfast trust and a sure hope. Because the scriptures, as we have them today, are a solid rock on which to build and rest our faith. Believer in Jesus Christ, in a day when many are denying the authority of the scriptures, do you firmly believe that the original copies of the Bible are inspired by God, that is, God breathed? And do you believe that they are inerrant, that is, without error? Do you fully believe that the scriptures as we have them today are a solid foundation on which to rest your faith and your hope in God? Can the church count on you today to defend the reliability of the scriptures in such a time as this? Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that God's word, not the wisdom of the world, is where you will find the path to freedom, to fullness, to forgiveness, and fulfillment in this life and in the life soon to come. God's word confidently and concisely says it is a trustworthy saying, full of acceptance, that Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost of all. So say to Jesus that you are a sinner. Seek Jesus today for forgiveness of your sins on the basis of his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead on the third day. And surrender your heart to Jesus today in a simple childlike faith. And the Bible says you will be saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this message to you. I pray for each one of us here that you put in our hearts that confident assurance that the Word of God is reliable and trustworthy. And now I pronounce your blessing upon your people. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.